Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. I believe that was the Ropes and the Roots. And the name of that one is Angels in the Room. What a beautiful song. And I like the arrangement of it and everything. And I especially love the way that they sang it. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And so we thank God this morning for another Thursday morning. Look, we are right at the brink of the weekend. Another week is ending. This week went by really fast for me. Hallelujah. Ooh-wee. But I'm thankful unto Almighty God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is May 16th, 2024. We are 5 months and 16 days into this new year, and we are thankful to Almighty God for seeing another day here, a day that we have never seen before. This is new to us, and we're thankful unto him for another opportunity to draw closer to him, spend more time with our family and friends, and greet strangers and share the good news of Jesus. Yeah, we're thankful unto him, and we don't waste our days. We don't waste our time. We use our time wisely. Yeah, and we pray and ask the Lord to help us to number our days. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we give him glory again this morning, honor and praise. We worship him in spirit and in truth. We love him today. We love him because it was him who first loved us. We're grateful unto him. We appreciate him. Whatever we can do for him is what we want to do. Yeah, we don't want to hold nothing back. And I tell you, these days, I'm feeling a little, I won't say tired, I say pressing. I feel a little pressing. And you never know, you know, how the Lord is doing things and what his will truly is. But I accept what God allows. Just some days, you long for the old days, you know. I'm going to put it that way. You long for the old days, because in the old days when I first started out, it was just me. And those days were training days, I'm going to call them. And when I tell you, I had some beautiful times in my training days. Great days, great days. And I'm thankful unto him. He taught me how to love others. And he taught me how to stay up in him. Stay with him. I don't care what comes your way. You stay with me. I got you. And that's what I'm working on today, going back to the old days. Yeah. But how many know that devil know what disturbs? He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he won't, you have no clue. You have, only those in full-time ministry could understand. Uh-huh. Those that's dealing with people, they're the only one who will understand. A pastor, somebody like that, then they would understand. Because if I express it, it'll sound bad. But it's not. It is what it is. And again, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. It's Jesus who come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're moving on up the King's Highway. We headed down that narrow road. We're heading home. We're going to clock out here for the last time after a while. But payday is coming. It's after a while is what the songwriter said. And so it's all right today in Jesus' name. And we're moving right along. And we thank God again this morning for the opportunity to be here, to talk of his wondrous works, to make known his deeds among the people. So look, we're going to pray the prayer of faith this morning. And whatever you're praying for, I'm touching and agreeing with you as well. Because we know that God hear us the first time. When we pray, God hear it the first time. Yeah, we can keep talking to him about it, but his ears are not deaf and his arms are not too short to reach down to fix whatever situation we have. Hallelujah. So he hears the first time. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, bow down. Father, we come thanking you for another day. Thank you for life, our health and strength. We thank you, Father, for the use and activities of limbs. We thank you for this day that we never saw before. And we thank you for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. We come this morning, Father, asking for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And Father, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness, and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us today, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for forgiving us. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. We thank you for being on our side in spite of us. We thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. Thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough because it could have been so much worse. Father, you could have let it been our last day here. You could have let it been our last time. Lord, we wouldn't have gotten another chance to repent before you, another opportunity, but you're gracious and you're merciful. Most of all, your love, and we thank you this morning. Hallelujah unto his majesty. We thank you, Father, today. We thank you. And Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless every caller and every listener today. Father, those coming through the archives and the podcasts, move in a mighty way in the precious name of Jesus. We ask today, Father, that, Lord, you would take care of our situations today. And we ask that you would give us spiritual and physical energy. That, Lord, while you're taking care of our stuff, we're working in the vineyard unto you, for the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And Father, we ask this morning that you would send more laborers into the vineyard. But we also ask that you would remember the labor that you called or chose us for this day. In the name of Jesus, Father, stir up the gifts in us. We asking that you would stir them up. And Lord, help us to stir up the gifts by prayer and studying of your word today. In the name of Jesus, you know what we need more than anything else, and supply today the real need in our lives, Father, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We come this morning asking, Lord, that you would make ways where there is no way for us, open doors that has been shut. Lord, move for us this day in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. And Father, we bind up any evil and negative and hindering spirits coming our way this day in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. In Jesus' name we are asking. And Father, we ask that you would take care of our enemies today. Lord, you know what goes on. And Lord, you know how to fix it for each of us. Do it today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We give you glory, Father. We give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray for those that are sick this morning, those that are in pain, those that are going through in their bodies. Lord, we ask today that you would touch and heal in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit today in healing, O God, for your people. We know that you heal all manner of sickness and disease. We know you took a beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. And this morning, we pressing in to touch, to just touch your hem, O God, knowing that we'll be made whole this day in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we ask that you would bless our administration of our military. Father, widowers and bereaved families and intercessors and prayer people everywhere, preachers everywhere, Israel, Jerusalem. Father, our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas, America and the leadership of America, have mercy this morning. And Father, we ask that you would bless as only you can do. Move by your spirit, O God. But Father, you said it's by your spirit you would go. Go by your spirit and bless your people in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are lost, we ask that you would show them the way to you. Lord, we ask where children are concerned, that God, someone is planting seeds, someone else is fertilizing, God, somebody else is watering. But we know it's you that will give the increase for children. Your word says, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is your kingdom. But Father, many are lost. Many children don't even know about you. No one ever taught them. They never consider you because no one ever shared to consider you. Father, we ask today that you would send out your spirit, God, to draw children unto you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Father, there's so much to pray for. And we ask this morning, whatever we left out, oh God, whatever we need this morning, that God, you would move in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you this morning. Jehovah, Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we thank you. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough, but you know what's best for us. And Father, we ask this morning that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Lord, help us to become quick to hear, slow to speak, and very slow to anger, oh God, to wrath. Help us this morning, Lord, to, before we speak, evaluate things. And help us not to get angry so quick. Father, many days it's not people, it's the enemy using people. And Father, you know us. As your children, we don't have no tolerance many days for the enemy. But God, help us today. Help us, Lord, to walk upright before you. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The songwriter said this, I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Because sometimes it's this way, we go and do some things and we feeling some things and we don't quite get it. I mean, we know some things, but we don't quite get it. But no matter what, if we're obedient unto Almighty God, and we're walking in the Spirit, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We love him today. Some of us he called and chose. And we love him, and he's going to bless. It won't always be like this. God is going to perfect these things concerning us. And no matter what it is, sooner or later it's going to work in our favor. I believe this morning right now God is turning it around for us. Oh, yeah. And it's going to work for our good. We just have to trust him today. Walk by faith and not by sight. Let me tell you. Had a prison pen pal. Well, still do. And we don't write through the mail like we used to. Today what we do is what they call JPay email. Yeah, they gave everybody in prison a tablet. So listen. With the pen pal ministry, there are many, and especially men, the judge gave them 30 years. They believe they're going to do all 30. They believe they're going to do all 30 of them years. When I tell them, no, you won't do 30. God said this, this, this. They tell me what the state said. What? We're not talking about the state who have some power. We're talking about Almighty God that have all power. Yeah, I know what they said. But I hear what they say, but I've seen what God can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank. Now, I'm not saying you ain't going to serve some of that time, especially if you're guilty. If you're guilty, you may do a bulk of that time. Yeah. But if you don't believe God and he done spoke, then you can do all of that time, every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you another thing, people, we praying for folks who they don't want to hear nothing about helping others. They don't want to hear about the prison days and what has taken place. And they don't want to hear that because they believe they're immune from it. Their children, they fat. What? Come on now. Yeah, be careful. Yeah, be careful. Because you never know where you'll end up at. Anybody would have ever told me I'd have ended up there, I'd have called them a lie. That's not where I come from. Oh, ain't nobody doing that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You never know what life will bring about. I teach people, be careful how you treat others. You never know who will have to give you your last glass of water, a meal. You never know who will have to come in and give you a bath. You never know. We up today, you don't know what you'll be tomorrow. So we be careful how we treat people and how we talk to people. Yeah, because if not, it can be ugly. And nobody wants to be bothered. And you find yourself alone. Yeah, I got friends like that. When they was up, oh, they thought they was all the bad, talk to people crazy, treat people crazy. And today they are older. Some are a little bit older than me. Some may be my age. Guess what? Nobody. No children, I'm talking, nobody. The only way the children will deal is if you're giving them something. If you're not giving them nothing, they're not going to deal. Yeah. And this is what I say to mine. I deal with who deal with me. If you don't deal with me, I don't have to deal with you. It don't mean I don't love you, but I'm not the kind of mother you can use. That's not why I'm here. You can get sound advice from me. Your children can get sound advice from me, but guess what? That use me thing, you're going to have to move along with that. Yeah, I'm not that kind of mom. I love you, but I don't love you like that. I don't love you more than I love me. And that's the truth. Because you're me. And I guess you are. I brought you forth, carried you 9 months. But that use me thing, you're just going to have to move on with it, Sugarfoot. And it will be all right for you. Because it's already all right for me. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've had parents who say, how do you do it? Ooh, you strong. I'm prayerful. Great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. I take the word of God serious and live it and live by that thing. Yeah. The only person I'm beholden to in 2024, May 16, 2024, is Jesus Christ and Jehovah. Almighty God, they're the only ones I'm beholden to. And when I'm beholden to Jesus, I'm beholden to God. And when I'm beholden to God, I'm beholden to his son. Yeah. Because late in the midnight hour, that's who's there for me. When I need anything, I can go to him. Yeah. And get what I need because he supplies. So I can't give other people more than I give to him. Yeah, even children. Yeah. If my parents was living, I couldn't give more to my parents than I give to Almighty God. Yeah, that's how that goes. Because he's a way maker. He opened doors. He makes ways. He'll raise somebody up to be a blessing unto you. You don't have it to worry about. I've seen it with my own eyes. I felt it. I know about it. Been there. Done that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's that kind of God. And yet on our side, hallelujah, in spite of us. Yeah, we deserve death. But look at it. His love for us. So look, today we're talking about example, showing it by living it. Yeah, example, showing it by living it. If we say we got God, we should show examples that God is in us. It shouldn't be hit and miss. Yeah. And a lot of times we get caught up in the stuff and things. We really do. And many preachers get caught up in folks bowing down to them. And so the truth about them will come out. What's really in their heart will come out about them. Over in the book of John, the 4th chapter, God teach love over there. He had John to teach us. For God is love. And to teach us what it is that love does. Love is what love does. Yeah. And so we come out in a different way. Many preachers, they come out in a different way. I shouldn't say we. Because they come out with loving what the people give them. And that's the way people treat God. They love him by what he can give them. When he's blessing them, oh, Jesus, can't get enough of it. But the minute they have to wait on him, have faith, the minute they have to walk upright before him, they don't like all of that. They just want the blessings of the Lord. And I'm telling you again this morning, many times you say, God, I'm not pleased with that. I don't care. What? Yeah. God hear every word we say. He see every move we make. And there's a day we're going to have to stand before him for all of this. It's enough to make you shake in your boots someday when you think back. This is why we ask for forgiveness. We constantly pray and we ask God for forgiveness and to help us to walk upright before him. Father, help us to walk in the spirit. That we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh is not just lusting after a woman after a man and a man after a woman. It's some other things. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to be talking about that today. Example, showing it by living it. Uh-huh. And it will be all right. So look, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with our scripture for the morning.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you're still reigning, you're still God. And when it feels all hope is fading, hit so
Imagine starting your day, not just with a cup of coffee or a quick glance at your phone, but with a powerful assurance that today can be extraordinary. Picture yourselves stepping into each moment, fueled not just by your plans and efforts, but by a divine promise of guidance and blessing. If you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. My friends, in the quiet moments of our mornings lies a precious opportunity to shape the hours ahead with hope, grace, and intention. It is in these serene early moments that we find our hearts most open to the whispers of God and where our souls are most receptive to His guiding hand. Let us reflect on the words from Psalm 118, verse 24, which says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This verse isn't just a statement. It's an invitation to align our hearts with a spirit of gratitude and joy. It reminds us that each day is a divine gift, intricately woven with possibilities and opportunities for us to discover and embrace. As we pray for a good day, we are not merely asking for favorable circumstances. We are also seeking to tune in our hearts to the beauty and blessings that each day holds. When we approach our day with prayer, we are not just hoping for the best. We are placing our trust in the one who holds all our days in His hands. We acknowledge that our own strength is limited. But in God, we find an unlimited source of strength, wisdom, and peace. Therefore, our prayer becomes a powerful testament to our faith, a declaration that we choose to rely on God's promises and His unfailing love to guide us through the day. As we face the unknowns of the day with courage, we ask not just for the absence of trouble, but for the presence of God's peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace becomes our steady companion, guiding our thoughts, words, and actions, turning ordinary moments into extraordinary encounters with God's grace. As we seek God for a good day, we seek to align our will with God's will. It is in this sacred exchange that we find the essence of a truly good day, one that is not measured merely by worldly successes, but also by how closely we walk with the Lord. It's about seeing His hand in every detail, feeling His presence in every challenge, and hearing His voice in the quiet whispers of our hearts. So, my friends, let us come together in prayer, not only wishing for a better day, but as a powerful act of faith and surrender. Let us pray with hearts full of hope, trusting that God is with us, guiding our steps and turning every day into a testament of His love and faithfulness. Today, as we seek a good day, let's remember that it begins here, in this moment of prayer, where heaven touches earth and your heart finds true joy in the Lord's embrace. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God, Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and earth, I come before you with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving. Your majesty and glory are beyond comprehension, and your love for us is unending. I exalt your holy name and acknowledge your sovereignty over all things. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and in your presence I find true peace and fulfillment. Lord, I thank you for this new day, a precious gift from your generous hands. I am grateful for the breath in my lungs, the strength in my body, and the opportunities that lie ahead. Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is as boundless as the sky. For the love and grace that you have given to me and my loved ones, I am eternally thankful. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth and in my life, as it is in heaven. As I stand in your presence, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, both known and unknown. Cleanse my heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness or resentment. For in forgiveness, I find freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare victory over my day. I seek your guidance and wisdom in every decision I make. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Enlighten my mind with your divine insight and help me discern your will in all things. In every conversation, every interaction, in every choice, let your wisdom be my guide. Lord, I ask for your strength and courage. In moments of weakness, be my fortress. When I face trials and tribulations, be my rock. Let your courage fill my heart, enabling me to overcome obstacles and stand firm against the winds of adversity. I'm grateful that in your strength I can achieve all things. For with you all things are possible. I pray for your peace to surround me today. Let it guard my heart and mind. In the midst of chaos, let your peace reign. Let it be a beacon of hope to those around me, a testament to your calming presence in my life. Protect me, Lord, from all harm. Be my shield and defender against the schemes of the enemy. Keep me and my loved ones safe under the shadow of your wings. Deliver us from all evil and lead us away from temptation. Protect us in our going out and our coming in, today and forevermore. I pray for health and well-being, not just for myself, but also for my loved ones. Heal us from every sickness and disease. Mend what is broken within us and revive what has grown weary. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician, the healer of all our ailments, and in your hands there is restoration and peace. Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, and I claim that promise over our lives today. I pray for deliverance from the spirits of fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and discouragement, and ask for your powerful intervention to break these chains and set me free in the name of Jesus. Lord, prosper the work of my hands. Open doors of opportunity and bless my goals and aspirations. May your abundance flow in my life and let me be a blessing to others. In your loving kindness, I ask that you meet my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, fill me with your love and compassion. Let me be a vessel of your grace, showing kindness and understanding to everyone I encounter. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all forms of attacks by the enemy. I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I bind the spirit of delay, disappointment, and stagnation in the name of Jesus. I rebuke bonds of oppression and any plans of the enemy to derail your purpose for my life. Lord, as I say this prayer together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now, as we come in agreement, praying for each other. Let your Holy Spirit move among us, touching every life, healing every wound, and fulfilling every need. In your infinite grace, we ask that you align your blessings to meet us right where we are. May your favor be upon us. May your protection surround us, and may your peace dwell within us. We declare that everything is working for us and not against us. Deliver us from all accidents and negative incidents. We are grateful that your goodness and mercies shall follow us all the days of our lives. Gracious Lord, we pray that you will help us to have a good day today. We claim victory over our challenges, declare healing over our bodies, and we thank you for your unwavering protection. As this day ends, we return with hearts full of thankfulness for every lesson learned, for every blessing received. We give you glory. Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us, comfort us, and empower us in all our ways. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to our channel, Daily Jesus Prayers, for more videos.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. We can never get enough prayer. Hallelujah. Talking to the Lord, communicating with him. It's a beautiful thing. Yes, it is. So we're looking at, we'll go to 1 John, the 4th chapter next. But we are in St. John is what we call it. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the book of John. Yeah, we're right there. And we're looking at John, the 13th chapter, and we're starting at verse 34. St. John, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the 13th chapter, and looking at verse 34. Well, let's look at verse 33, and then we're coming on into 34, and we may get to 35. And then we're going to go over to John, 1 John, the 4th chapter. But listen, it says this, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Did you hear that? We got to live this life in Christ by example. We got to show. Got to show the world, our family, our friends, strangers, even our enemies, we got to show them love and that we have the love of God in us. Yeah. See, he had already told them he was going away. He went away to prepare a place for us that where he is, we may be also. But this wasn't the time. So he was letting them know, I gotta go. And where I'm going right now, you can't go. I gotta go prepare the place for you. So now I say to you a new commandment. I told you I was going to prepare a place for you. But listen, this is a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Anybody think they loving like God? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Yeah. If we follow his example, follow his instructions, we're going to be all right. But many times the enemy comes and he uses people. And many times the people don't even know the devil is at hand. They don't know the devil is using them. I told you what they tell God. I don't care. What? Yeah. So many times it'll cause us, we feel like we off course. Because we thinking it's that person, but it's not that person. It's the enemy that uses that person. Yeah. And then the enemy will come in and say things to you. You don't need that. This and that. The person constantly coming the enemy to use them and don't know you battling against the devil. Yeah, we have to pray. We have to pray. That's like MC Hammer said a long time ago. We got to pray to make it today. Yet we have to love. You have to put yourself aside and show love. I know me. I know me better than anybody else. And I'm the kind that I'm my own best friend. And as long as I got King Jesus, I feel like I don't need nobody else because he supplies every need according to his riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. If I move to the right, he's going to be there. If I move to the left, he's going to supply from there. I only need him. But his word said to love, not as the world love. Yeah. We can't love like the world. Because see, the world love them that's doing what the world like. As long as you're doing what they like, oh, they love you. They love you. But the minute you stop hitting home runs, the minute you stop going to the hoop and scoring points, the minute you stop doing touchdowns, the minute you stop singing or writing their favorite kind of songs, they'll turn on you. Even in your family, they'll turn on you. But he said, love not as the world loves. Love as he loved. And this is what we need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to go on over and look at 1 John. And I want to go down to about the 7th chapter, I believe. Well, we can go a little bit back up. I tell you what, let's just start from 1 and we'll read down. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby, verse 2 says, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Did you hear that? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3 said, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. And it's been here a very long time. Yeah. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's the same thing he told them over there in St. John 13 and 33. Little children, that's the same thing he spoke to us, because we are his children. And except we come as children, what we're going to do? We can't be as grown as our parents. He's our father. I can't be as grown as Jehovah. I got to be a child under him. For it says, ye are of God, the children, and have overcome them, because great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5 says, they are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. This is verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I'm telling you, you can see it, you can hear it. You get, and let me tell you, all these different kind of preachers on YouTube, all over the TikTok. Let me tell you, some of these people, I just go right on to the next thing. Because you're full of yourself. and you're not loving nobody. Yeah. I know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Believe me. Because great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. I hear this God. I hear God. I know his word is true. Mm-hmm. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. Listen to this. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But you got to know how to love. You got to have love. But love is of God. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Yeah. Verse 9, and let me tell you, it may be a love where it's fake. It could be you putting on for the people, you tricking the people, you showing the people, oh, I'm so kind and I'm so gracious. Oh, I'm just precious. Oh, I never hurt anybody. I never said a hard word. Can't be that. It's got to be true love from your heart. Because if it's a fake love, let's go back up here to verse 1. Beloved, believe not in your spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Many false people out here. They will laugh in your face and you think they for you and got the knife in your back. They'll say one thing to your face, but it's a whole nother thing behind your back. And sometimes right there in your face, they'll do stuff. But they say they got Jesus and they say they fear him and this, that, and the other. But they can't get over themselves. They can't let go. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9 said, and this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, through the Son. Anybody got Jesus? And you living through him. Your life is hid in him. You setting examples every day. Yeah. Every day you setting examples. Yeah. You showing your children, you showing your husband, your wife, you showing your co-workers. But it can't be fake. It can't be none of that fake it till you make it. No. It can't, it gotta be, it must be genuine. Verse 10 say, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. We ought also to love one another. We all the way down to 11 and he's still talking about love. Because we need to set examples. Did you hear him say, this is how the world will know that we are of him, for the love we have one for another? These people in the street don't believe we love one another. People in the street don't want no part of the church. They saw the backbiting. They saw the hate over there. They saw the falseness over there. They saw how the people over there put on and act like, you know, I'm for you, and all the time got a knife in your back. The world saw this. The world saw the man that said and woman that said they was the men and women of God, but they saw how they dressed. They saw how the husband was beating the wife and how they was having conflict and all this stuff. They saw the, how the children in the church was being molested, the women and men in the church. Yeah, they saw this being raped and all kind of stuff going on. The preacher up saying one thing and living another. So they said, no, we don't need none of this. We can stay out here where we at, and we'll fare much better out here the way that we are. Yeah. so we're not coming in. But if you're showing genuine love, I don't care what the world has encountered. If you are showing genuine love for your brothers and your sisters, the world will come in. Oh, yes, they will. The world will come in, but we, who say we the light of the world, we say we the cat that sit on the hill that can't be hid. We say we the men and women of God. We gotta show this. And we can't show it by talk. Because a lot of people talk a good game, but we got to show it by actions. And if we go back and remember, God is an action God. Yes, he is. He's not just a God that talks, but he shows action. Many testimonies I could give unto you that prove God is an action God. He just didn't inspire man to write it in his word, and it don't perform. It don't do what he said it was going to do. I'm a living witness. If he spoke it, it surely came to pass. Many times in my life, I'm saved this morning because his word hold true. If any man believe in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm a living proof. Yeah. We go back over 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Verse 12 says this, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. When we draw closer to him, when we stay with him, when we walk in the spirit and don't fulfill the lust of our flesh, when we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, it's going to be some hard days. I've been through the storm and lots of rain, but I can tell you, I made it. And that's not my last storm and rain that I have to go through. It's much more. Every round go higher. Every trial come to make me strong. Hallelujah. 13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. Because he has given us of his spirit. But we must allow the spirit to lead and guide. 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Oh, that's good news right there. Hallelujah. I testify. I have seen and I do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world because he saved me. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Gotta love, y'all. We all the way down to 17. 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us to be this, God. Help us to be so as Jesus. Lord, help us. Let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. Help us to walk upright before you. Father, help us to show genuine love to one another. Help us to have the love that God, we're concerned about those that are lost in the name of Jesus. Lord, the children that are disobedient and husbands that don't love the wife. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to show the example of Jesus everywhere we go. Help us to be quick to forgive, God, those that transgress against us. Help us this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, you take the reins. We follow in your lead. Give us the spiritual ears to hear and the spiritual eyes to see you in the fullness, oh God, so that we can follow you all the way in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We got to believe the word of God. We must believe God. Yeah. And it is already all right this morning in Jesus' name. For great is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. It's all right. It's all right today. We thank God. Yeah. We thank God we can get these things done. And I'm back over at St. John. Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. St. John is what we call it. And we're looking at, again, verse 13 and 33 and 34. Yeah. And we're going to go on down a little bit, but back at 33, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, wherever I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Verse 36 says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I told you. See, he was going away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also one day. Hallelujah. 37 says, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And look what Jesus told him. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. Three times. You see? God is not fooled by our talk. He's not fooled by I'll die for you. And the proof got to be in the pudding. You got to show him by example. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, obey my word. You put yourself aside to obey God's word. Yeah. And it takes discipline, and yeah, a lot of discipline, and it's as if you're overlooking things and you go on and you let it go. You let it go, for God is love. But we got to love one another. Hallelujah. Wanted to share that a little bit this morning. I was coming in, and that's what I got. Example, showing it by living it. I got that this morning, and so I come to obey and to share it, and it's all right today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We keep on keeping on in his name. I'm thankful unto him. I'm thankful for faith in God. You hear me? I'm thankful that he drew me unto him. It's him that do the drawing. I can't draw nobody. Only he can. Even if I have the spirit of drawing, it's not me. It's the spirit that he gave me that draw. I'm thankful this morning for grace. The grace of God. I'm thankful for mercy this morning. His mercy is everlasting. He never runs out of mercy. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him that he don't destroy me if I make a mistake or if on purpose I do something. He don't just destroy me. He gives me a chance. The scripture said, come. He's saying to us, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you as white as snow. We can go to him anytime for any reason, for anything. And no matter how bad we've done, he won't in any wise cast us out. He won't throw us away. He give us chance after chance to come back and get it right with him. Yeah. I listened to the testimony of the young man. I don't know if y'all will remember. I think it was one day last week where he had to stand before God and he heard, depart from me. He kept hearing, depart from me. And when he stood before God, the things that God told him and then God sent him back, he said he just knew he was going to hell. And said he repented and he asked the Lord right there, God, please, please, please don't send me to hell. I'm so sorry. God gave him a chance, you see? And he didn't hear, depart from me. He said he told him, you won't hear well done. You won't hear that. But nonetheless, if I was him, I probably would have been that kind of person too. To beg God, please, Lord, don't do it. And guess what else? When he said you won't hear well done, I would have been okay with that. You know why? I didn't hear depart from me. Because he truly could have said, depart from me a minute. Because he don't play no games like us. He don't say one thing and do another. Whatever God say he gonna do, that's what he does. Yeah. If he says the wages of sin is death, that's what it is. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's what he means. He don't go back on his word and all of that. We do all of this. Mm-hmm. We say one thing and do another. God is not that way. He say what he mean and he means what he says. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, I have a message by Bishop G.E. Patterson, I think it is here. And I want to play this morning for us as well. And I want to kind of change up just a little bit because after every message, I want to pray. Yeah, pray in opening up. And after every message, pray. And then at the end and closing out, we pray again. Prayer is very important. And I was sharing that with the Lord the other day. Lord, I'm going to pray more on the show. Hallelujah. All right. We want to take a listen to this one as much as possible. And I'm praying we don't run out of time.
In the book of Ezra, in the month of January, our Bible study and Sunday school centered in the book of Nehemiah. During the month of February, we centered on the book of Esther. And now for March, April, and May, we will center upon the book of the Revelation. And I want you, if you would, to look with me to chapter 1. And we will read together verses 10 through 18. And God bless all of you who did not allow the snow to stop you.
Amen.
Amen. I look and see all of these empty seats, and I'm thinking about how folk are plowing through 2 feet of snow in other areas, and we don't even have enough to stick. It's just blowing in the wind. And yet there are folk who couldn't come because of the snowstorm. God bless all of you. Come on, let's read together. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about perhaps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the key of hell and of death. We'll stop at that point. Noticing in particular the words of our Lord at the latter part of verse 17 and throughout verse 18. He says, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I hear the Lord saying here, have no fear. The Lord is in control. I think you could tell somebody that. Have no fear. The Lord is in control. Amen. If I don't say anything else to you, I want you to go out of here with that in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. That out of the many situations that we are involved in this life, there is no reason to fear. It's a strange thing about fear that although many situations give rise to fear, what we really fear is uncertainty. Fear is brought about because of unknown factors. Those persons who fear being evicted from their home and fear their automobile being repossessed, fear their utilities being cut off, if they knew that just before the deadline, they would come into the possession of the necessary amount of money,
to keep them from being evicted, to keep the car from being repossessed. If they knew the thing is going to happen 10 days from now, but if they knew that around midnight, the night before all of this was to take place, that somehow mysteriously they would come into possession of the necessary amount of money, they would have no fear. Fear is brought about by the unknown. Why is it that people basically fear at night? Because under the cover of darkness, you cannot see what's going on. Somehow you feel more confident. There may be a mugger standing down the road, but in the bright sunlight, you don't really fear it, because you can see the person, you can see everything around, you can see where you need to run if you've got to have help. You can see the cops standing over on the corner, and when things are light, basically you don't have the fear that you have at night, but you are fearful at night because of the unknown. Well, good example, you can sit up at home all day and hear the house settling and a pop over here and a crack over here. But at night, nobody is there but you. And then you have a power failure on top of that. Every little pop and every little crack, you know that somebody is trying to break in on you. We fear the unknown. I was saying to the saints this morning at the 8 o'clock worship, and it may sound like I'm digressing here, but in reality I'm not. I may be dealing with something that I'll come to later in the passage of Scripture. But the world now is poised, awaiting December 31st, 1999, because nobody really knows when the calendar turns over. And December 31st, 1999 becomes January 1, 2000. Nobody knows what's going to happen. You're reading it in the newspaper. You're hearing it on television. The Y2K problem. As the year 2000 comes in, and computers that have been trained only to read the last two digits, and when it focuses on double zeros, not knowing whether it's 1900 or the year 2000, some even fear that a nuclear holocaust could be released by some computer being confused and letting go of a nuclear missile. Others fear that city power companies will shut down the utilities, and in the dead of winter, that houses will go dark and cold. Others fear that because of how electronically money can be transferred from one place to another, that financial institutions will leave people who were well-to-do with no worries about their future, according to the papers, will leave them penniless. Nobody really knows what is going to happen. And if we allow our imaginations to run away with us, we will become just like the other people of the world, lost in uncertainty, fearful of our future. But the Lord says to John on the Isle of Patmos that because of the Greco-Roman world, the Roman power that was in authority, and Greek culture and education that dominated. He uses the Greek letters of the alphabet, Alpha being the first, Omega being the last. He said, I want you to know I'm A and Z. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm everything in between. You have no reason to fear because I've got it all in control. Oh, glory to God. You ought to tell somebody, have no fear. The Lord has it all in control. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Let's look at it. Some of you, I don't get to talk to you on Thursday night, so I may not preach this morning. I'm doing Bible study this morning. You looking at it? Look at the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at the word revelation, that word is a revealing. It is an unveiling. Whenever a thing is revealed, it does not mean it was not there. It was there all the time. But you could not see it until the veil was removed. I've often used the illustration that behind these beautiful green drapes, there is a baptistry. But those of you who are not here, say at 10:30 Sunday mornings when the drapes are open and the baptizing service is going forth, you would not necessarily know what is behind the drapes. But there is an electrical switch back there that once it is thrown, the drapes begin to part. And as they part, they reveal what is behind. The Lord wanted John to know that the future is going to happen. There are things that are going to come to pass. And in order that you might know what will come to pass, I will reveal it to you here and now. So it is the revelation. And your Bible may have, as many Bibles said, the revelation of St. John the Divine. That is an incorrect heading because it's not John's revelation. Look into the text. Verse 1 says it's the revelation of who? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it didn't even start with him. But it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, which Yahweh, which Jehovah, which the Heavenly Father gave to him. The Father gave it to Jesus in order that Jesus might show it to his servant, the things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. It is important that John is referred to here as a servant because when you listen to the different arguments of biblical scholars, some of them will say that this writing is not John, the beloved apostle, the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, the beloved one that laid his head over on Jesus' breast the night in which he was betrayed. Now, that's who it is, but a lot of people will say that's not the John that it is speaking of because he does not refer to himself in the office of apostleship, but he only refers to himself as a servant. But you've got to understand the context of the book to know why he does not do like Paul and speak of apostolic authority, because there are times that it does not matter who you are. In the awesome presence of God, you become like John the Baptist that said, he's going to increase and I'm going to decrease. So even though John was an apostle who walked around with Jesus on the earth, when he saw the glorified Christ And this is what you see in the Revelation. Here you don't see the one that Isaiah prophesied about that'll be led as a lamb to the slaughter. One standing in the courtroom of Caiaphas being smitten by one of the soldiers. You don't see him as the little man that had nowhere to lay his head. You don't see him in Revelation as the lonely carpenter of Galilee. But here you see him as the glorified Lord with all power in his hand. And anybody, when you get the right kind of vision of God, it doesn't matter who you are. You are nothing but a servant. Hallelujah. Just honored to sit down at his feet. Let me go a little further here. John refers to himself as servant who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And listen to what he says. He's trying to get the preachers, because later on you will see in this that the seven stars are really the pastors of the churches. And he is writing to them, and he wants the people in the congregation to be blessed by the visions that he had on the Isle of Patmos. So he says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You got to understand that in my position as a jurisdictional bishop, I can write to the pastors and tell them, you know, that I want all of your members to know thus and so. But it's up to them. They can take the letter and throw it in the trash can if they want to. And John did not want the pastors of these seven churches to discard the letter. So he said, I want you to know that everybody that read it is going to be blessed, and everybody that hear it is going to be blessed. And I say that to you. Some of you all are scared of Revelation. But I want you to know that there are blessings in this book that you can just read it, and sometimes while reading it, you feel yourself in the awesome presence of God. It would be real good if you just turn off Search for Tomorrow and Young and Restless and come out of General Hospital and hello somebody. Forget about all my children and forget about the other talk show hosts. Let Springer go ahead on and folk fight one another and all of that stuff going on. Cut some of that off and grab this book. I declare if you read it, it will bless you. John, I'm in verse 4. Where are you? All right. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. When I looked at that and talked about seven spirits of God, and that's one of those debatable things that people will just jump into and go all kind of ways with it. But when I was still a teenage preacher and got kind of hung up on that, I'll tell you what the Lord directed me to. He directed me to Isaiah 11. And I want you, if you would, to maybe put a Bible marker here in Revelation. Go to Isaiah 11 for just a moment. I'm settling back down, y'all. I'm getting back to this where you need to have your Bibles. Amen. And everybody need to leave home with a Bible. Now, we basically use the King James while we're in worship, and you can use the others if you want to do further study. Isaiah 11, do you have that? Now, here is a messianic prophecy, and certainly when you use the word messianic prophecy, it means a prophecy that points to the Messiah, There are a lot of prophecies about a lot of things, but the messianic prophecies are those that points to Israel's Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah is writing, and he is talking about the coming of the Lord, and he says in verse 1, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Well, this is in keeping because Jesus is not only called the son of Abraham, but he is often referred to as the son of David. And you understand that David's father was Jesse. Is that right? All right, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And look at what it says here. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's one spirit, which is the spirit of the person of God, the personality of God. See, first of all, if you're going to be a son of God, you've got to have the personality of God. It's a shame. That's why the church suffers. You got too many folk claim to be children of God, but they have the spirit of the personhood of Satan. They lie. They cheat. They steal. They cuss. They do all the things that the devil's folk do. But first of all, he says that this person, the Messiah, the Spirit of God, shall rest upon him. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of his person. That's one. And then what? The Spirit of wisdom. And not only the spirit of wisdom, but the spirit of understanding. And then the spirit of counsel. And the spirit of might. And the spirit of the knowledge of God. And the spirit of the fear of God. I counted seven. How many did you count? Huh? All right. I counted seven. Now somebody, oh preacher, that you can't prove that. You can't prove it's not either. You weren't there before the throne, so you can't tell me who the seven spirits were. And that's where the Lord directed me. Amen? Now come on to verse 5. He said that the seven spirits of God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. That simply meant he's the first one who got up, who doesn't have to go back. You've had some other folk that got up. I was reading one day about after the prophet Elisha, that mighty prophet, was being buried after he was dead and buried, that the later on the Moabites were coming through and they dropped a dead man in to his sepulcher, and when that man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived back to life. But I'm here to tell you, that man is dead. He went back. Hello? Jesus even raised Lazarus, but I guarantee you, Lazarus is nowhere walking on this earth now. He had to go back. But he is the only one that came up out of the grave, having conquered death, hell, and the grave, and will not ever have to go back in again. Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that what? Loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, I tell you, self-reformation won't do it. You got a lot of folk that brag about what they don't do, and I've never done this and never done the other. You're not saved because you had the moral power to stop smoking or to stop this or stop that. That's what we find when Jesus talked about the unclean spirit goeth out of man and walketh through dry places seeking rest. But when he couldn't find any, he said, "I'm going back into my house." And he gets back and finds that house is clean, but it's swept and garnished. It's dry clean. It's swept. It's garnished. It's decorated. And therefore the devil was able to come back into that house. But when you are saved, your house isn't swept, it's blood washed. Y'all don't hear me. And not only is it blood washed, but you don't have to get trinkets to garnish it and decorate it. But the Spirit of God comes in to fill up that house. And when you're Spirit-filled, the devil might oppress you, but he can't possess you. Hallelujah. You got a lot of folk, you know, talking about I'm saved and sanctified, but you're talking about these evil spirits that's in. Honey, if you got evil spirits in you, you ain't saved. Pardon my grammar, but I'll say it again. If evil spirits live in you, you ain't saved. Satan will come against you. Hallelujah. He will assail you, but he can't prevail against you. He will oppress you, but he can't possess you. That's why I never could understand you folk talking about I'm saved and somebody fix me. Scared of witchcraft and hoodoo. You can't fix me when I already been fixed. Anybody in here can say I'm already fixed? Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Trying to not go too long with this, but I feel that long-winded spirit all over me. But look at what else he says. Not only is Jesus Christ the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But through his exaltation, he has also lifted us. That's what he said in John. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So through his exaltation, look at verse 6, and hath done what? Made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Hallelujah. Do you know who you are? When you really know who you are, when Jesus Christ is really your Lord, his exaltation lifts you. That's why I said let us exalt his name together. Tell somebody if you lift him, he'll lift you. Oh, glory. May not have a dime in your pocket, but you're not a pauper. Bills you can't pay, but glory to God, you're a king in waiting, a prince in waiting. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, if you belong to him, you are a priest that can go into the holy place. Anybody in here know who you are? I think about 25 of you that know who you are ought to just leap to your feet and say, he's made me a king and a priest. Oh, sit down, y'all. You need... around here fussing, getting mad because the government want to end the welfare program. Thank God if he let welfare or public assistance in some way be a bridge to tide you over. But see, you can take the bridge across the Mississippi River. But you don't want to stay on the bridge. You just to let the bridge carry you over the river. And then you're back on the highway. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God will let public assistance bridge you over. But you don't need that to live on. You don't need the government to take care of you. You're a king. You're a queen. You're a priest. You're of royal birth. You're somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That word amen just simply means it's true. Amen, somebody. Then come the verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now you got to let that settle in your spirit. This morning I was talking to the saints from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, where the disciples asked the Lord, Master, when shall these things be, and what will be a sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus let them know that one thing that is going to happen, there's going to be a rash of messiahs. Many will come in my name. Hello? And you have never seen such a day of false messiahs. When our family moved from Memphis to Detroit back in 1952, there was a fellow there by the name of the Reverend James Francis Jones, better known as Prophet Jones. And from 1 a.m. Sunday night, early wee hours of Monday morning, from 1 until 2 in the morning, he was on radio and television live, building jam-packed Universal Tribe, the Dominion of God. And the prophet said the only reason, only difference, rather, and I'm not telling you what I heard somebody else say, I heard him say it. He said that the only difference between him and Jesus, God sent Jesus to do a job, but Jesus let death stop him. But he came to stop death. And the only difference in him and Jesus was born in Bethlehem and he was born in Birmingham. And this brother walked in his high heel shoes and his tightly fitted, little more like a dress, but they said was a robe. Earring in his left ear, leaving the right one open, he said, because that was the ear God talked to him in. And thousands of people followed him. Hello, somebody. Before him was Father Divine. During the same time as Prophet Jones was Daddy Grace. Hello, y'all. You ever heard the name Sun Yon Moon? Mr. Moon has changed his approach. He doesn't do the same as he did at first. Now he's trying to get Christian leaders to network with him, claiming that his interest is in humanity and love and fellowship. But when he first appeared on the scene, he let you know that he came as the Messiah. Hare Krishna. You heard it. Did you ever hear the name Jim Jones? I think somebody heard the name David Koresh. And right here in Memphis, at Cook Convention Center several years ago, when Mr. Farrakhan came the first time, he went and got those scriptures where Jesus said that there was one coming after. He traced it. John said one was coming after, and Jesus was the one coming after John. But also Jesus said, I've got many things to tell you that you can't understand now, but how be it? One is coming after me. And he called him the Spirit of Truth. And Mr. Farrakhan declared himself to be the one that Jesus talked about. Now they've got another one, Yahweh ben Yahweh. He calls himself God. He's in prison now, and his folk trying to get him out. False Christ
arising everywhere. But I want you to know that when Jesus comes, you are not going to have to tune in on one certain television station. When he comes, nobody is going to have to catch a jet and fly to Israel. When he comes, one passage said, it'll be like the lightning streaking across the sky. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when it comes, he's going to have some identifying marks that don't nobody else have. Yes, he's the Word of God, incarnate in human flesh. In the womb of Mary, he received a body. That body went to Golgotha. That body was crucified on Calvary. Nails went right through his hands. Nails went through his feet. And then a big spear went in his side. Must have been some big holes, because he told Thomas, put your finger in the nail print. Put your hand in my side. And when my Jesus comes back, won't nobody have to tell me this is him. Because when he come back, first I'm going to see him. And not only will I see him, I shall know him. As redeemed by his side I stand. Oh, I'm going to know him by the print of a nail in his hand. He's going to let me know I am your redeemer. I am the one that was hung up for your hanger. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Hey, thank you, Lord. And every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, they're going to see him. Oh, what a mighty God. See, when he appears in the sky, according to what Paul said, everybody won't be dead. Even if it is a nuclear holocaust, it's not going to kill everybody. Said these who are alive and remain will not prevent them which are asleep. For the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Hello, somebody. And while we who may still be alive if he come in our lifetime, while we are being caught up, graves will be bursting open. And those who crucified him 2,000 years ago, they're going to rise up out of the ground. And the very one that they pierced, they're going to look at him. And according to what the Bible says there in the Philippians, around 2, 9, and 10, it simply says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can't you see him now? The ones that pierced him coming up out of the grave and falling on their knees saying, he is Lord. Sit down now. Let me hurry up and get through with this. Bless the name of Jesus. Look at verse 8. I am Greek alphabet that begins it. I'm Alpha. Oh, I know you sorority sisters and frat brothers, you and your Greek clubs, but you ain't in the right Greek club if you don't know who Jesus is. You can be Alpha whatever, but honey, you just toying with a name. Jesus said, I'm Alpha. I'm the beginning. Everything you see, I started it. And don't you worry about the end when it's all over. Not only am I the beginning, I'm Alpha, but I'm Omega. I'm A on one side. I'm Z on the other. And I'm everything in between. Glory. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. John said, I'm your brother. That's all I am. You waiting for me to identify apostolic authority? He said, no, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation. Here's a man that received this great revelation of Jesus Christ. But he tells the believers that I'm your companion in tribulation. We're in trouble today in the body of Christ because we're being taught that if your life is lined up with the Word, that if you're really what God wants you to be, that if you're going through this and going through that, there's got to be something wrong. Honey, let me tell you, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. And a lot of these people that are trying to tell you that you're not going to go through anything if you are right with God, they ought to quit lying and tell you some of the stuff they're going through. They're going through. Their wives are going through. Their sons and daughters are going through. They are going through everything that you are going through. As a child of God, he did not promise us that we would not go through, but he did say, when you go through, I am with you. You ought to tell somebody you can go through anything if he's with you. We used to sing that. If Jesus go with me, I'll go anywhere. It's heaven to me. Wherever I be, if he is there, I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus go with me, you ought to turn to somebody and tell them, you can make it through it if Jesus goes with you. Then they had another song, Walk With Me, Lord. Walk with me. While I'm on this pilgrim journey, I want Jesus. I just want him to walk with me. John said, I'm your brother. I'm your companion in tribulation. You've got to go through. I have too. Congregation have to go through. The preacher does too. Amen. And then he goes on to say, I'm your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you just got to have some patience. He said, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. And why was he there? It was like being in a penal institution. But he said, I was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Some things you wouldn't have to go through if it wasn't for the fact that you're a child of God. Don't let anybody tell you that getting saved and living for Jesus is the easy way out. You go back and read the 13th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus is dealing with what is called the parable of the sower. And he talks about seed by the wayside, seed in stony places, and among the thorns, and good ground. And he explains, hallelujah, a little bit later what that particular parable meant. And one of those particular types of soil he describes as being those who receive the word. But when persecution come because of the word. Some things you have to go through because you're a child of God. If you weren't a child of God, there's some things the devil would let you escape. He wouldn't have to do that to you because I got you anyhow. And I'm going to let you laugh your way all the way to hell. But when he sees that your commitment is to the Lord, a lot of things that the enemy throws in your way trying to stop you from following after Jesus Christ. John said that it was because of my testimony that I ended up out here. History will let you know that out of all of the other apostles, they died some kind of a martyr's death. But John had a special relationship with Jesus Christ, to the extent that even after Jesus got up out of the grave, there around, I think, the 20th or the 21st chapter of John, when they went back on a fishing trip, and Jesus was there on the shore with fish broiling on coals of fire, called out to them, "Children, do you have any meat?" "No, we toiled all night and caught nothing." "We'll cast your net on the right side." And when they went on out there in the deep and launched out and threw their nets where Jesus said, fish swam into the net and the net began to break. And somebody said, you know, that's Jesus. They had had that experience early in his ministry, and now they would have it after the resurrection. And when Peter heard it was Jesus, he was there in the bottom of the ship there with his naked body and took his coat and girded it around him, jumped out into the water and swam ashore ahead of the boat. And Jesus had fish brawling on coals of fire. "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." And when Peter got all upset because the Lord said to him, "When you were young, you girded yourself, you dressed up, put on what you wanted to, and went where you wanted to go. But when you get old, another's going to take you by the hand and lead you down a road you don't want to travel." And Peter understood that Jesus was prophesying that he would die the death of a martyr. And he looked at John and said, "Well, what's going to happen to this fellow?" He said, "Well, if I will that he tarry until I come again, what is that to you? Follow thou me." In fact, they start spreading the rumor that John wasn't going to ever die. Well, John did die, but he didn't die like a martyr. When they tried to boil him, history says, in a kettle of oil, something about it, even the hot oil wouldn't destroy him. Nothing they tried to do to John would kill him. So they decided, we'll banish him. And they put him on a leaky ship, sent him out into the Aegean Sea, knowing that when he got to the Isle of Patmos, that there either a poisonous, venomous snake would bite him, or some ravenous beast would destroy him, or else being left alone, he would go stark, staring mad. And John gets out there, and he does not really know what his fate is, until finally it is the worship day. And I hear him say, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." Oh, I feel my help coming now. "And said, I heard a voice behind me saying, I am Alpha." I'm in verse 11 now. "And I am Omega. I'm the first and I am the last." You didn't come out here to die, John, but what you see, I want you to write it in a book. I'm going to show you some things that have happened, some things that are happening now, and things that will happen in the near future. Glory to God. I want you to write letters to the seven churches. And while John is acting as recording secretary, the Lord said, "I want to remind you again of who I am. And because of who I am, you have no need to fear. Fear not, I'm the first. Fear not, I'm the last." In other words, don't worry. like he told him years ago about those that can destroy your body, but destroy that one. A thing you better do is feel the one that can destroy soul and body and cast it in the depths of hell. Don't fear your situation. Don't fear what any man can do. I am the first. I am the last. I'm he that liveth. If you want to know whether I got power, my power is so great that I was dead, but I didn't even stay dead long. You remember I went in the grave, borrowed the grave from Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph knew I wasn't going to use it forever. I just had to borrow it for the weekend. Early. That Sunday morning, stepped outside of the grave, dangling keys in my hand. I got power over hell. I got power over death. I've got power over everything living. And as long as you stay yoked up with me, you don't have to worry about anything the devil is trying to do to you. Long as you stay yoked up with me, you don't have to be fearful of the Y2K problem, because it doesn't happen. Matter rather, what goes on in this world, got it all in control. The church doesn't have to worry, because the church is styled as the candlestick. And he say, I'm walking around in the midst of the candlestick. I don't need the secretary's report. I see all you do. I hear all you say. I'm walking around in the midst of my church. I'm holding the stars in my hand. Look today, many places across this world, the body of Christ is in trouble. My God, we just heard about one leader going up to serve time, and I don't understand how you can be the custodian of the people of God and don't deal fairly with the money of the saints. It don't matter what denomination is in. There's trouble here. There's trouble there. And people said, look like ain't nothing gonna get better. But the Lord say, I'm walking around in my church. I know the folk that's playing tricks. I know the hooks and I know the crooks. I know what's going on in the church. And don't worry about my preachers. I'm holding them in my hand. If you belong to him, you right in the palm of his hand. Reach over and tell somebody, if you belong to him, I'm not worried. I'm not upset. He's got it all in control. He knows about that alcoholic spouse. He knows about those drug-addicted children. The traps they've set for you on your job. He knows about the bills that you can't pay. He knows about the pain that's in your body. He's got it all in control. He knows about those parents that are now aged and have become a burden for you to take care of. But he'll give you strength in your weakest hour. Whatever you're going through, God's got it all in control. Oh, oh.
nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Bishop G.E. Patterson this morning. And have no fear, God is in control. And we don't have to have fear when we obey God. Yeah, you don't have to fear anything that's coming your way. I heard Bishop say this. When we come to God, many times people would tell us, oh, your trouble's over with, you're not going to have no problems when you come to God. And people think that way. They think when they come and receive him as their Lord and Savior, all the troubles is over. Everything is good now. No more bad days, no more sick days. No, it's just the beginning of your troubles when we come to him. Because the enemy come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he see you done cut him out, let him go, and you found a Savior, and you telling the world, he is sweet, I know, then that devil get really busy. Let me tell you something. He'll use the closest thing to you. He'll use your family member. He'll use your friend, whoever he can use to try and distract you staying with God, from having a good life, from feeling good and being healed. Yeah, He come to tear that up. That's his job. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. And our job is to believe God, and no matter what, work unto him. Oh yeah, it's already all right this morning. In Jesus' name. And all of that too includes love one another. We got to love each other. Yeah, love each other to the point of where no matter what go on with the other ones, and they tell us something personal, we're not out telling what they told us. We got to love one another, that if we fall into hard times or bad times or whatever you call it, and we can rescue our brother and sister, we're willing to do it. Yeah, we are willing to do it because God loves a cheerful giver. But many times, the church won't do it. They too busy thinning and proving what you did with income if you had any. Yet we careful now. We careful because we know we have users on every hand. And they'll take their money and buy what they want and come to you for what they need. And we know that's not right and it's not fair. And we pray, the Lord, whoever we help, is your will. It's not our will. We're doing it because you said to do it. Yeah. And in the house of prayer, the church we called it, we are especially good to one another. Mm-hmm. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're joint heirs with him, so we're related through the spirit and the blood of Christ. Yeah, the blood of Jesus. But I thank God this morning. He reminds many of us to be cheerful givers. He reminds many of us, help the poor, help the sick. And some of us, we consider ourselves poor. But when you got him, you shouldn't feel that way. Because you got him, you got God. And you're obedient unto him. And when we're obedient, he won't withhold no good thing from us. Hallelujah. We're the lenders and not the borrowers. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And if we're taking our money doing what we're supposed to do, if we're faithful at giving to God's house, yeah, sometimes we have to pray to make sure we give into the right place. I tell you, I noticed that at my church. When I first gave, I saw doors come open. I said, oh, yeah, I'm giving in the right spot. And I continued on. And when I give over there, God bless me. Tithes, offering, whatever I can do. Yeah, I give. And God bless us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful unto him. Yeah. So example, showing it by living it. Yeah, we can't just talk our way through this thing. We got to live it unto God. And he's a God of action. He hear what we say, but he's looking at the things that we're doing. Yeah, again this morning, our heart and our lips must line up together. What we say we must be doing. Amen. Amen. Listen, the studio is open this morning. If there's anyone have something they would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in today. Yeah, and share. And so we just thank God. We just thank God this morning. If not, we'll get out early again today. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And let's pray for one another. Keep each other lifted in prayer. Yeah. Y'all keep Sister Sherry. Y'all keep Sister Irene. Keep my brother Willie. Keep my bishop, Bishop Cardoz. Let's keep them, Nikki. Let's keep them lifted in prayer. Because we know what prayer would do. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful. All right, Brother Anthony, coming at you right now. Good morning, sir. God bless you. How are you?
Yes, Tyler, favor.
Wait, you going in and out, Brother Anthony?
How about now?
It's real low.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's still low. Maybe it's your volume.
Hello.
Uh-huh, I hear you.
How about now? Is that better?
Oh, yes, sir. That's much better.
Okay, I'll just put it back on the cost. But, good morning to you, Ms. Barbara. Good morning to everybody listening this morning. First of all, I just want to be a guy. Thanks for waking up this morning. Thank you all for life, ever strength. Keeping me on my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Never seen before. I thank God for activity of my limbs and, I just thank God for who he is, to see what he's doing, even where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And I'm just blessed to be here another day, to see another day. And I just listened to Mr. Patterson, to him, and just thinking about, you know, what he was talking about. You know, I caught a little bit towards the end, but, you know, how he was saying about the different people that came claiming they were God, you know, but then I was thinking about too, you know, what he said, you know, the that who it was, but the people that came and dropped the body in Elijah's graves, and then the body came to life. But, you know, we know that's the power of God, you know, and I just feel too in my heart, you know, that was God letting them know that he's greater than anything, you know, that now, he said, I can bring the dead back to life. You know, so that means even with us, you know, where we sometimes fall away in our walk with God, you know, or even necessarily not falling away in our walk with God, but people that, you know, come to know God, you know, that he will bring us alive, you know, that you know, that he will touch our hearts to make us, you know, well, not make us, but he will touch our hearts when we come to him, or when he draws us, you know, that we'll be alive in the anointing and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, you know. And so I just think about what he said, you know, long as God with you, you know, you don't got nothing to worry about. And I was just thinking about what you said, Barbara, you know, you said, you know, we got God, we rich, but and that's true, rich, you know, and you just got to have faith and believe and trust in God. You might not say, you might not show that we rich on the outside, but for rich, that position that God has given us, you know, whether it be the anointing or his Holy Spirit, and rich in our walk with God, you know, so, you know, that alone is worth more valuable than money, you know, because a lot of people don't have that connection or are not able to have a relationship with God and walk according to God's will in their life, you know, and God can find their needs or what they need, you know, so that they, you know, that, you know, God is always with us, you know, and his word that he never leaves us for forsaken, so he will be with us from the beginning to the end. And sometimes might feel that God ain't with us, but he's always there. Sometimes he just ain't speaking. Sometimes he just gotta let you, you know, see some things, and then once he feel that, you know, got to the point where, you know, you can recognize that God was there, you know, that God is helping you, you know, helping you on an individual, you know, in whatever situation they going through, you know. And, you know, it just blessed me. And I would also say, too, you know, I was just thinking about, like, why you're saying, of giving tithes and offerings, you know, and God blessed me many times, you know, about giving tithes and offerings, but also, you know, the seeds that my grandmother, you know, planted on her paying tithes, you know, so, you know, the those blessings carried over to me, you know. She was paying tithes, you know, and with the family and everything that was going on before, so I had my real walk and encounter with God, you know, she was already planting those seeds, so, you know, it's just a blessing to know and, you know, see that and see it manifest, you know, and I was just thinking about too, I heard a little bit yesterday where the man was speaking on, and, you know, and dude, we gotta think and believe, you know, if you think a little, then you're gonna get little. But if you think it big, you're gonna get big, you know. It's all in the faith, you know what I'm saying? How big is your faith? You know, how if you believe God can give you anything that you need, you know, it's the way your mindset is, you know, and me personally, I think big, you know, my fiance, she's like, well, you know, first thing, and I tell her no. I say, God, I don't doubt God, you know, because I know God give me anything I need, you know what I'm saying? He will open the door, you know, and I say, everything that I need, I already seen things that God has manifested in my life plenty of times, so paying tithes, so, you know, I don't have no problem if God has sent me and being faithful to you. So giving God, you know, this money, because I know, not saying that he's obligated to do it, but, you know, I just know what God will do, you know, and not saying I'm doing it to get those things, but I'm doing it because that's how I was raised, and I'm doing it because he touched my heart to do it, you know, and I give, you know, and a lot of times it might not necessarily be, given to, you know, like to a church or something, you know, I might just need to help somebody, you know. When I was driving trucks, you know, and I met a lot of homeless people and a lot of church of heart, you know, to do things to help certain people, you know. And just gotta have that relationship, you know, with God, you know, and God will lead you and guide you what he wants you to do. And our walk life, you know, so that also thinking about what Bishop Patterson was saying. He said, you know, when God comes, you gonna know. You know, and I had a dream. It had been 2020 and around the next time frame, and with the dream, God came back. You know, and in the dream, when I was dreaming, it was like, you know, the world had with the chaos and everything stuff was going on, and I kind of, in the dream, the vision that I had, it was like I fell away a little bit, but when God came back, you know, everything stopped. You know, I felt the presence of God when he came, and so he came, everybody, whatever was going on at that time, whether it being people fighting, looting, whatever, you know, stealing, whatever was going on that wasn't in God's, you know, purpose in their life, it completely started automatically. Like, it just all of a sudden, boom, it just stopped. And I just remember looking, you know, when it happened, the vision, I was in front of the church back home in North Carolina where I'm a member. I was in front of that church, and then I seen the scene of, you know, God come down, and so I couldn't be, I kind of like glimpsed the figure of God, but I couldn't look directly, but I had immediately I was humbled, but immediately I kneeled, you know, and everybody around me, they kneeled, you know, and so it was just that experience and that vision. See that, then I mean, that showed me how powerful God is to have that vision, and that he knows those things. When he comes, so everything ceases. So everything stops because of him coming, you know, and whatever's going on, it's going to end right then and there. So, and we all bow down to him, you know. So, like you say, every knee shall bow. That dream right there just, you know, enlightened me. So, I hope. So just help somebody and, you know, make you really think, you know, about, you know, our walk with God and relationship, you know, things that we can do as individuals. So to tell another person, you know, our story, our testimony, but in all aspects as well, to, you know, to try to maintain
the relationship with God, everything. I hope that blessing and that y'all just continue to pray my friend, Lord, my walk with God, and y'all continue to pray God and y'all have a blessing, awesome day. Amen. Amen, Brother Anthony. Amen. Yeah, God will show us. He would teach us if we will allow him to. Yeah. We got to stay focused, keep our mind in the right places in his word, and to help others and, you know, to be a blessing, allow God to use us to be a blessing wherever we can. And it's already all right. I'm telling you, God will show you. I can remember I like to cook. So he was showing me things, and there was this huge table, and I was at the door looking in. And that was this huge table, and Peter and John and everybody was around that table. Matthew and Mark and Luke, everybody, Sarah, Abraham. And I was looking in the door, and at the head of the table, you could feel a strong presence. And I knew that was the Lord. I couldn't see him, but I could feel that presence. And I was looking to straight ahead, let's say, and I saw all of that, and Peter was just talking. You couldn't shut him up. And when I looked to the right, I could see the steam coming from big pots, and these men were in there, and they was in white. They was cooks and chefs, and I was looking, and I was like, what's going on? And that strong presence said, there's a feast about to go on, but we can't eat until you get here. And I woke right up. I was like, oh my god, that thing excited me so, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And so I'll never forget that. Yeah, it won't go on until I get there. Hallelujah. And then I saw the empty seat at the table. And that was my seat, but I couldn't take it yet. Oh, but there's a day when I'm going to take my rightful seat at the table. Huh? Hallelujah. And enjoy. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you this morning, Brother Anthony. Thank God for your sharing today. And we know God is pleased when we have something to say on his behalf. Yeah, he is pleased because he wants us to talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. Is there anyone else? If not, we will pray out this morning again a little early. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for an episode of Jesus in the Morning. And tomorrow is Testify Friday. So if you have a testimony that God has reminded you of and he's given you permission to share it, feel free to come in and press that number one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, let's pray. And we'll go to our last song of the morning after prayer and after the song. I won't be coming back. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Father, for the reminder. Thank you for Brother Anthony sharing this morning. Thank you for the message today that you have it all in control and that, God, we are to love one another. We don't have to be against one another, but, God, we can be for each other. Help us today to show love to the world. For this is how the world will know that we are of you, is that we love one another. Do it for us. Fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Open the doors and make ways for us. Father, we ask this morning that you would show us your way. And Lord, give us the spirit of obedience like never before. In the name of Jesus, help us today. We're crying out to you. But Lord, we want to walk up right before you daily. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. Father, we pray for each and every caller and every family member and friend near and far that today, oh God, you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, as we depart this morning, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, May the 16th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. And we're going to our last song of the morning.
Blessing.
Reach out for him, he'll be there. When you're troubled, you can share.